there something about you, nothing special as far as you're concerned, but that everybody comments on?
I made a T-shirt up that just had on the front, "Before you ask, I'm 6'7", and then on the back, "And no, I don't play basketball." They're the two questions that everybody asks.
Deviating from the norm when it comes to height is the subject of the body sphere today, at either end of the spectrum, from tall to short. Hello, Amanda Smith with you on RN. And just for the record, I'm short. So how much of a difference does such a simple thing as a few centimetres either side of average mean for the way you're perceived by others and for the way you live your life? Today I'm handing over the body sphere to reporter Katie Silver, who's going to give you the long and the short of it. First up, with a couple of small businessmen.
How are you going? Have a seat.
Do you have a favourite coffee to make?
Long Quay.
Marco Garbalotto, and I'm in hospitality. I run a cafe. We were trying to come up with a really catchy name, something different. And Aaron came up with it, and we said, great, that's it. And everybody loves it, because they always come up and say, love the name. We've had people from overseas come in that are short, and the first thing they want to do is take photos with us. They were two brothers, short, and they couldn't wait to get up here to pay, just to have a joke. And it was a Saturday morning, and it was slamming. And they go, man, we got to have the photo with you, you know. And we've come round, and they're sort of up to my ears, considerably shorter than I was.
I'm grabbing a coffee in Northcote, in the northern suburbs of Melbourne, talking with the father and son owners, Marco and Aaron Garbaletto.
I'm 5'5", a tall 5'5", though.
5'7½".
If we're talking metric, the men are 165 and 171 centimetres tall. They've called their cafe Two Short Men, and their heights provided the inspiration for some of the items on the menu.
Big Short Man.
That's the big breakfast.
It is. Yeah. Or the Big Veggie Man. Yeah. We always have a joke because it's actually a little bit higher on that side.
So, yeah, behind the counter you're saying is slightly taller.
It is.
Yeah. Give you those extra few inches.
About 2 inches. So, yeah, so that's good. We had tall Cameron, who was working here as a barista. We had Eliza. She was probably 6 foot. And Cameron was well over 6 foot. And it sort of looked funny with them walking around because I'm short.
A short guy who's sensitive is in deep shit.
Most short-statured people are just resigned to their fate of second- or third-class citizenship. You may be ignored, you may be dismissed, you may get less respect if you get any respect at all, you may get less courtesy if you get any courtesy at all.
This is an excerpt from a documentary out of Canada called Short and Male. Its creator, Howard Goldberg, is 5'3½", 161 centimetres. He says the idea came to him when he was talking to another guy who's on the short side.
And I said, do you ever think about being short? Does it ever come to mind? And he said, yeah, sometimes. So started to research it. And the more I researched it, the more I realized that it fit into the general category of the way people discriminate, maybe discriminate in a harmless way in this case. But nonetheless, we form judgments based on things that have nothing to do with merit.
Do you think it's a real issue that affects people's lives?
The most interesting story that we uncovered in our research took place in China, where height discrimination is part of a culture of, I would say, extreme corporate dominance, where competition for jobs is so fierce. And we uncovered a story there of a law student who was 5'3", who was turned down a summer job as a bank teller because of his height. I mean, it's not a job playing basketball. I was going to be a bank teller. And when questioned, the Bank of China told him that it was just simply a question that you're dealing with the public, your image represents us, and we would prefer to have people that are on the upper end of the height spectrum serving our clients. The bank management saw it as a legitimate request, but the court said you have a valid complaint and set a date. And it made headlines all over China, and what happened was it never got to court because the bank immediately reversed their policy and made it public that now anyone can apply to be a bank teller regardless of height. So I would think that height discrimination laws are perfectly valid in China or any other country where someone has refused a job and they suspect it's because of their height.
That was an explicit case, but I imagine most times it's just this implicit bias where you choose or an employer chooses one candidate over another.
That's correct. And there's probably no way of enforcing a law against subconscious discrimination since it's something we all do.
In fact, a study out of Harvard found there was an unconscious bias against short men. The test is called an implicit association test. It's online and it measures people's reaction times and how fast they associate good concepts or bad concepts with someone being fat or thin or old or young or tall or short. The IAT was first administered in the late 1990s, but researchers didn't use it to look at height bias until the mid-2000s. They found when it comes to men, people have an automatic preference for height.
So there's a subconscious bias against short males.
There must be some women who prefer short men. I mean, at the very least, it could be a fetish. There's a fetish for everything, right? Feet, rubber.
The men that I've met that have been shorter than me have kind of had, like, something to prove all the time, and it's kind of unattractive.
I feel like they have to be more macho or more manly.
Ever heard of the Napoleon complex?
Yeah.
Are short men overly aggressive? In your
opinion? Yes, they are.
Yeah.
They want to prove they're big.
I think that the aggression levels amongst men or women of short stature is probably the same as any height group. It's just that we tend to notice it more when it's manifested by a shorter individual because it's funnier. We remember it more. Oh, there's that guy. He was going crazy. This little guy was going nuts. If you saw a big guy going nuts, you might remember it less because a big bouncer type guy is just doing what big bouncer type guys do. Yeah, I think that everyone has to make up for some deficiencies. We all have some deficiencies. You just have to turn on the personality. You want to be noticed in a room. When you walk into a room and you're short, you're lucky if you can see above the person standing in front of you. It's hard to be noticed, you know, cocktail parties. And so we develop personalities to make that social necessity more pleasant for ourselves and for the people around us. The platform shoes have always been big sellers, and we're in good company there. Bobby Kennedy wore them. Humphrey Bogart wore them. A good platform shoe will give you an extra couple of inches. So if you're 5'3½" and you get up to 5'5½", you can be with other people and not feel like you're standing in a hole.
This desire to find life more pleasant and be more accepted leads some short men down paths that many of us might find extreme.
I spoke to men who've sought out limb lengthening surgery, which is painful, complex, and really something that I think ought not to be taken lightly. Thankfully, you can't get this surgery in most countries without extensive psychological testing to make sure that you really need it. In other words, your personality needs a little bit of a kickstart. Traction, they call it.
And there was also the growth hormones, which your parents looked into when you were growing up.
They looked into it and decided against it, that it was just messing around with the body chemistry for unproven and potentially dangerous areas. If it's not broken, don't fix it type thing. But a lot of parents do look into growth hormone.
Howard Goldberg, Canadian filmmaker behind the documentary Short and Male. You're listening to The Body Sphere here on RN with me, Katie Silver. Today, the quest for average and how tough it can be when you fall too far from what's normal. I remember in my family growing up, my mum giving my brother protein powder during his teens because, with two parents who were on the shorter side, she was fearful he'd end up similar. Then, when to everyone's surprise he hit 6 foot, she was scared he'd end up too tall and the protein powder suddenly disappeared. Too short? Too tall? Either way, it seems a worry. Just as Howard Goldberg was discussing medical interventions to make short people taller, there are also treatments available to make tall people shorter. Jessica Steiger-Thorpe has a condition known as Marfan syndrome. It's caused by a faulty gene that affects connective tissue, and it can make someone's height skyrocket. But if they find out early enough, there's a treatment where the person can literally pick and choose how tall they want to be.
Specialists who work on fixing up
the projected heights that are off the chart for Marfan patients are called endocrinologists. And they sat my mother down in the office, and my mother and I were sitting there, and I was about 8 or 9 years old. And they said, well, you know, how tall do you want to be? And I was sort of thinking, oh, I don't know, Mum, what do you think? And Mum was like, well, let's go home and think about it. So we picked a number and said, yep, it would be good to be 170 centimetres. That's sort of near average but tall enough for women to still not be thinking that they're needing high heels for the rest of their life. And they prescribe the estrogen that you just take morning and night to sort of speed up the growth process. So all of my growing was pretty much finished by the age of 12, and I'm now 171 centimetres, 0.3. Like, it's a pretty exact science.
What year was that?
It was 1986, because I was 9, yeah.
It's pretty advanced science.
Yeah, yeah, but it's also remarkably straightforward. I mean, sure, you go get an x-ray, take a look at the growth plates, see when they're fused, bingo.
If you hadn't had that treatment and you'd been left to grow, how do you think life would be different?
Oh, I think it would have been massively different, both in terms of body image and self-confidence, but mainly at the cardiovascular level. The whole cardiovascular system would have been under that much more stress, pumping around such a huge frame. I just don't think the outcomes for me could have been the same at all.
Do you think, looking back, that 170 or 171 centimetres was the right pick?
Oh, look, I'm very happy with that outcome. You know, I never had aspirations for walking a catwalk. My childhood was before the time of Australia's Next Top Model, Inc. and the like. So this fascination nowadays with being taller for aesthetic reasons wouldn't have occurred to me. But it is a quirky concept to think of, you know, walking in and just picking a height.
Totally, I know. And I think many people would be really jealous.
I'm sure. And anyone suffering that jealousy is welcome to come along next time I have an ocular surgery or some other devastating intervention involving a lot of needles and a lot of suffering to, you know, sew up the latest part of my body that's collapsed on itself.
Living with Marfan syndrome is fraught with challenges, but thankfully for Jessica, height wasn't one of them, as the hormone treatment left her at 5'7". Jeremy Ayres also has Marfan syndrome, but since he wasn't diagnosed until he was fully grown, he didn't have the hormone treatment. Jeremy is just over 2 metres in height. That's 6'7". This, he tells me, is half an inch from being an official giant in the UK, for which he could have gotten health benefits.
My whole family are tall. So when we have family outings, it is interesting to see public reaction. I'm sure people see me and my immediate family and go, they're just a family of giants. My little brother's 2 inches taller than I am.
6'9".
Yeah, he's 6'9".
So he's official giant.
Yeah. I have to order my shoes online because my feet are too big. Jeans, pants in general, really hard to find. I have to go to big and tall shops. The issue then is that when they make clothes that are long enough for me, apparently you have to also be, you know, 400 pounds. Mm. So everything hangs off me. So now I've kind of opted for the slimmer fit. But the trade-off is they do tend to show off the midsection.
Interacting with the world around you is also tougher when you're tall.
Desks, chairs, most things are built in bulk into an average size, and then I don't fit into that average size. I stoop now a lot, but you're always going to have the occasional incident. The last one I can remember was I was on a business trip to Brisbane and it was just walking off the plane and I ducked every other exit sign except for the last one and I just didn't see it coming, went straight into it and I was like, that's right, I'm on a plane again. These things are not built for giants. Even business class or first class, when they say, oh, we have a seat that can stretch out to 186 centimetres in my head, I'm going, that's still not big enough for me.
Jeremy has very set ideas about how homes should be redesigned with tall people in mind.
Raise the bench tops, high ceilings, high doorways, throw the bath out completely. Unless it's going to be half the size of the room, I'm not going to fit in it, so just don't bother. The shower would be a roof to floor, so I don't have to bend shower heads up. Yeah, that would be the ideal apartment.
Jeremy, who is now 30, says he spent a lot of his teenage years getting used to his long limbs.
I've never been the most athletic person and I've always been seen to be a little bit awkward, like tripping over and banging things. And maybe that is just me getting comfortable with how tall I was and was continuing to be, and also how everything else was just made for a certain norm that I didn't fit into. Now I can get comfortable with it, and I think that's what I'm doing now, and hopefully I'll start shrinking. Maybe. One day.
You're counting down to 70.
Maybe things will actually be normal one day.
Though Jeremy says his height has certainly never held him back professionally.
I've always found it easy to find work, but I've always hoped that that's more because of my hard work and my going to school and getting a good education and all of that. But it certainly can't hurt. And I do know that when I walk into a room and I've got a suit on for an interview, I get that immediate. Like, I've never walked into a room and felt like people are not treating me with respect. If anything, it's the other way around. Sometimes I feel like they are giving me too much respect and maybe I don't deserve quite everything that they give me.
He says sometimes people will tell him he's freakishly tall, but he says he finds this more repetitive than insulting.
To me, they're just pointing out the obvious, so I don't really take it as an insult. If it's meant as an insult, too bad. Like, I am freakishly tall. Occasionally, it gets a little bit boring. If I'm in a situation where I've told, say, 4 or 5 people in a row how tall I am, it starts to get a little tiring. But that's just because who likes to repeat themselves?
Yeah, nobody.
You know,
yeah,
and over again. And I don't go around to short people and say, oh, my God, you're so short. But they always say, oh, being tall is great, you know. What is that? The 3 features of a perfect man: tall, dark and handsome. I've got one of those, at least.
You got 2.
Thank you.
Getting on to that topic, dating short girls, tall girls, yeah. Do you have a preference?
I'm asked this more and more now, but I've never really consciously had a preference. I've dated short girls and I've dated tall girls. Girls never want to date guys that are shorter than them, or so I keep being told. So in that sense, it means I've got more options, I guess, which is always a bonus. There is one incident I do remember walking through a shopping mall with one such girl and trying to have my hand around her, which just sounds like it should be the simplest thing in the world. But she was so short, I didn't want to put my arm around her neck. I insisted that I wanted to have it around her waist. And so I was slanted slightly walking along with this girl, and it must have looked ridiculous because I felt ridiculous. And I was like, why am I doing this? To be all cute and cuddly with this sweet girl who's just her height and I am my height.
While this sounds awkward for Jeremy, being a tall woman can mean you're constantly bending down, feeling out of place and masculine. Ashley Keller is a uni student in Melbourne. She is 6'1", or just over 185 centimetres.
It can sometimes be awkward as a taller woman because, you know, that masculinity is kind of shrouded onto me. I really struggle to feel feminine because I'm sometimes even taller than the men, and I can't do certain things that other people can because I stand out, like, what, 2 heads taller than the majority of the people.
Her mum, Petra Tyers, is also tall, standing just shy of 5'11", or 180 centimetres.
The self-esteem stuff that happens with, you know, and I think it's like everything that's an extreme that's classed as not the norm. There's a lot of self-esteem issues that go along with that. And that's why a lot of tall people actually like to blend into the woodwork and hide, because people like to have a go. They like to pick on them. I know my son suffers from that all the time. You know, he's been bullied quite a lot. He's always been a good foot taller than everybody else. He becomes quite introverted sometimes with the bullying. You know, he walks down the street with his friends who are classed as normal height, and I use that in inverted commas, and he looks like a man walking down the road with his son. So he suffers from all sorts of stuff around that.
This led Petra to co-found a group called Tall People United. They organise events for tall people to get to know each other. The biggest was in Melbourne.
300 to 400 people fly in from all over Australia and New Zealand just to hang out with other tall people. But yeah, we had a band of some tall musicians out there. So we had some of the guys from Cat Empire, and we had Wilbur Wilde and Jeff Coxey Cox, and they put together a brass band for us for the night, which was fantastic. And we had a fashion show for tall people, because a lot of people didn't know about different clothing out there that they could go and get, or places where to get shoes. There were guys going up to girls going, where have you tall girls been? We've been looking for tall girls. And the girls are saying, you know, we don't go out. And then some of them started to explain that, you know, they'd actually been schooled at home because they don't like getting picked on at school because of their height. So it's like this whole group of people just suddenly meeting each other for the first time. And I actually had a guy who was over 7 foot, he wrote me a letter and he said to me, he said, I just want to thank you from the bottom of my heart because it was the first time in my life I felt normal. We have a Facebook group. Young people are getting on there. They ask advice. I've had parents ring up and ask advice about how to deal with different things.
But there are some pros.
It just, in some instances, makes life so much easier. When you're in a crowd or just down the street, you know, you can see above everyone. You can get a better perspective on certain things, even on the train when it's peak hour and you get that extra bit of air above the crowd.
I love being tall. I find myself walking quite proudly down the street being tall, and I love seeing other tall people.
You acknowledge and grin at each other?
Sometimes you do, sometimes they don't. There's that shyness in tall people where they've just gone, oh, you've seen me. I didn't want to be seen. Yeah. And just sort of try and hide because they're so busy trying to blend in.
Yeah.
But the people that I've met through Tall People United are very proud to be tall. They're certainly not afraid to wear heels. In fact, I remember my 40th 3 years ago. I had some of the tallies there, and Tracy Beattie, she's 6'8.5", she had 2-inch heels on. My girlfriend Belinda, she actually had 5-inch heels on, and she's 6'2". And, you know, then there was myself with 5-inch heels on, and the three of us all glammed up, walked into Sophia's in Camberwell. We sort of stood at this doorway, and the whole place went quiet. And there was actually an American soccer team sitting right in front of us where we went to walk in, and you'd hear them saying, wow, you don't see that every day.
This is The Body Sphere here on RN with me, Katie Silver. And today, speaking with people who are at either end of the spectrum when it comes to height. When you're quite far from normal, and your height violates gender norms as well, it can make life awkward. From tall women back to short men.
Boat-style shoes are very fashionable, canvas-type shoes. The pointy shoe is still in fashion, I guess, but it's moving away to the kind of rounded toe again. Fashion's a funny thing. Things are always changing. But right now, what am I wearing? I'm wearing a kind of a rounded toe again.
This is classical violinist turned shoe entrepreneur Jenna Niao Keng playing his music.
When I was overseas in America with the Australian Chamber Orchestra, I came up with an idea of designing men's shoes that make them taller, because the US had these kind of shoes, but Australia didn't. I thought this was a great product, so I started up my own website and designed 8 styles. This was when I was living with my mum at home. And before I knew it, we had about 1,000 shoes in the rumpus room of our house, and it kind of expanded from there.
Jenin is 170 centimetres. The idea for his business, Altura Shoes, was definitely triggered by his own height.
I'm only 5'7", so I'm a little guy. But with the shoes, I'm about 5'9.5". I'm not that short. I'm pretty short, but I'm not as short as a lot of my customers that I get, you know, 5 foot, even under 5 foot. And I can see how hard it is for them, because I already know how hard it is for me. My partner, Chloe, she loves to wear 6-inch heels, so she's 5'5", but with the heels, she can be, you know, 5'11". So it's nice just being able to get a bit of height.
He says his shoes don't just increase a man's height, but they provide a much-needed self-esteem boost as well.
I get a lot of men, actually, middle-aged men who, you know, are recently divorced and finding it very difficult to get back into the game, you know, after 20, 30 years of being married. It can be really hard for men who are shorter to start talking to women, because it is hard with a lot of women wearing high heels and a lot of men, you know, the average height now being about 6 foot. The shoes have really changed their lives. They feel it just gives them confidence. And that's what my product is. It's not shoes, I'm selling confidence.
Now, Jenin's business has grown in unexpected ways.
I'm practicing at the shop and I've got customers coming in and they're listening to my music while my staff serve them. I get numerous brides and grooms who come in for their special day, and it's just nice to see the groom so happy wearing the shoes and the bride's very happy, because in the photos there's not going to be that height difference anymore.
Amazing. And that's led you on to start your other business.
That's right. We'd start talking about how I got into it, and I'd tell them that I'm a professional violinist. And then they would employ me to perform at their wedding and organise a string quartet. And now we perform for hundreds and hundreds of weddings.
Jenin first came across elevator shoes online.
I was just interested in celebrity heights, so I was looking on the internet how tall is a certain celebrity, and that's how I actually came across these shoes. So I wasn't actually looking for shoes to make me taller. For a couple of years, I was looking for celebrity height details, and this ad on Google just kept popping up.
What about celebrity heights fascinated you?
I like watching Hollywood movies, and I guess if I knew how tall a person was, then I would know how tall I would be next to them. So there are a lot of short celebrities like Mark Wahlberg, Tom Cruise, and even littler guys like Seth Green and Jack Black and Jason Alexander. But it's quite interesting to know now just how many celebrities there are that actually wear these type of shoes. I mean, even Brad Pitt, who's 6 foot, he wears elevator shoes, and George Clooney, who's 5'11".
Surprisingly, it's not just short guys that come into the store.
In the beginning with my business, I started only with small sizes because I thought only small guys would be buying my shoes. And yet now I get a lot of tall guys. One guy was 6'5", and I'm like, wow, how come you're buying these shoes? And he's a security guard, and he bought the biggest ones, which are 4-inch heels, to make him, you know, 6'9", just to have that presence and that authority. It's really hit market areas that I didn't know that they would. When I started it, I just thought that it'll be like-minded people like me who perform on stage and just want to add a little bit of height. So I've had all different types of people come in, all kinds of heights from 4'10" up to 6'5".
Do you ever have people who are coming in who are embarrassed to be there?
Absolutely, I do. I've had to train my friends who work at the shop just to notice when people come in and what kind of character they are and give them the space if they need it. A lot of customers prefer to purchase online just so that they don't have to come into the store. But the first thing pretty much I say is that, oh, thanks for coming in, I'm wearing the shoes as well. And then there's that rapport that's established and they don't feel so self-conscious anymore. My shoes are there to be a cost-efficient way of just gaining a little bit of height. And a lot of men say, okay, that's cheating. You know, what if you take your, you know, you go out for a date and then you come home and then you got to take off your shoes? What then? And I always remind them that, you know, a lot of the time women are wearing high heels and they're going to come home and take off their heels as well. So women's height perception is always changing. So it's not a big issue about people noticing so much. In fact, when I started wearing them, Chloe didn't even realize.
Do you think that height is too highly placed in our society, in the difference that it can make on someone's life and the way that they see themselves?
Absolutely, absolutely. As somebody who's well under average height, I know of this firsthand. And in fact, when I think about it, I think I would love to be 6 foot or 6'1". But if I was 6 foot or 6'1", I wouldn't have started this business. Everything stemmed from this idea for me.
Jenna Niao Keng, musician turned shoe entrepreneur.
If the shorter person is well processed and thinks well of themselves, I think they would have no disadvantage maneuvering their way through life. I think that the best thing a short person can do is completely forget about being short and don't see that film.
Howard Goldberg. And that film is his documentary, Short and Male. There's a link to it on the Bodysphere website if you don't want to have a look at it. Katie Silver was speaking with all those short and tall in this edition of the Bodysphere. Comments welcome at abc.net.au/radionational/bodysphere. You can also download the program from there any old time you like. I'm Amanda Smith.